My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Coming up at 6:30 as we're live at Capital One Arena, where the doors are open ahead of Mystics and Fever tonight. It looks like one of the all-time greats in WNBA history is going to retire. Pretty emotional video released by the Phoenix Mercury today about Diana Taurasi. So, Anthony, I say coming up at 6:30 in honor of DT, we should just swear the entire 15-minute segment. We should just see, hey, how many technicals can we pick up? That's what should happen.
It's a great plan. Great plan. I just don't think we should be doing that while we're on the clock. Maybe after.
Okay. So getting ejected from our own show. Yeah, I guess if she's retiring and has made all her money, we're still getting ejected could be funny, but getting fired would not be.
Hey, there it is, Craig.
That's okay. There that's a good point. That's a good point. So we'll find another way to honor Diana Taurasi, and we'll also talk about the game here at Capital One Arena tonight. But it's 6 o'clock. It is time. If you're one of those people that needs to turn down your volume because there's a whistle in some of our sound effects, now it's your time. Anthony's going to hit the pick six button in 3, 2, 1.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at Six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
And they can't say we didn't warn them that time. They can't say that we didn't warn them.
They can't. They can't. Good heads up.
Here for the people.
Yes.
Here to serve the people. All right, let's get into it. Pick six time. Biggest headlines of the day. Today is Thursday, but they treat it like a Wednesday because of Monday Night Football, which means the coach and the quarterback spoke, and both of them spoke about our number one topic.
Number one.
Get the ball to Terry McLaurin. That is something that fans in the DMV have been screaming about for years with good reason. He's real good at football. When you see a receiver like Malik Nabers get 18 targets as a rookie, I think a lot of folks are asking, like, why can't Terry get, you know, 15, 12 even? And I think there are times where I've certainly asked that question as well. You know, how many first and tens did we do last year where I'm like, how does Terry McLaurin only have three touches in an entire game or three looks in an entire game? And so Cliff Kingsbury has done, I think, did a better job in week two than week one of trying to get Terry the ball a little bit more. There's a couple of opportunities that perhaps could have also gone Terry's way if some things go differently. But is this a priority? Dan Quinn, he's the one who sets the tone as the head coach. Here's DQ at the podium earlier today.
Tried to move Terry around into different spots, which, you know, is important because he is, you know, has that, like, playmaking ability, so you want to find the spots to go. as we're going just into our second, you know, full lap together, there'll be more ops for him than we need them to be. What you don't want to do is force the ones that aren't there and make sure, even though in a certain route, he may be the primary read, but if that one's taken away, that you don't force that one and go to somewhere else. I really respect that about Jaden, of making good processing decisions. Sometimes you have a play design that's, you know, going to go to one place and it's not there. So the worst thing you could do is try to force something in that's not there. And so I'm pleased that we're not doing that. Do we want to get him involved? Man, you bet, in the biggest way. And so the catch and run opportunities, I thought we had, you know, one or two chances that we didn't go his way. One we had a penalty on that I thought on a trap pass, I think Nick might have been down the field on a slant. That was going to be a big place. That one doesn't count as one of the targets to go.
That play would have been a game changer in terms of huge chunk. Like, Terry's stats look completely different if he has a what was like a 20-25 yard gain. And it's an RPO and a run-pass option, which means Jaden could have either handed it off or he could have pulled it out and thrown, depending on what, you know, does a linebacker or a safety vacate the area? They did. Jaden made the right read. The problem was Nick Allegretti, who doesn't know if it's going to be a pass or run, went full run and bounced off the first guy he was supposed to block, got to the second level, was fully engaged with the linebacker, which is great if you're actually running it, and is an illegal man downfield penalty if you're throwing it. So that would have changed the game. Ultimately, though, it's on Jaden Daniels to pick the right times to find Terry, and he's missed him a couple times on some touchdown opportunities, both in like the deep passing game. He missed him on one in the red zone where Terry won and really should have gotten the football on Sunday. But he's a young quarterback. These are the things that happen. JD also asked today about getting the ball to 17.
Yeah, I mean, go out there and pick the spots. I mean, you know, obviously we got to get Terry the ball. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to spread the ball around. Defenses are going to key on Terry. Respectfully, respect to him, because of what he did in his league. But at the end of the day, man, when it's time and we have a one-on-one matchup, you know, sometimes, Terry's out there, you know, go let him win. But other than that, you know, we're just going to keep playing our game. We're going to keep moving forward and just go from there.
Two more things quickly on this. First of all, it's not necessarily the sign of a healthy offense if one dude's getting the ball all the time. The ability of this team to spread the ball around, I actually think, is good. Eckler gets his. Robinson gets his. Ertz gets his. I would like to see Luke McCaffrey start to get involved a little bit more. I mean, get involved at all. I don't think he has a catch, or maybe he's got a couple of catches, but there's certainly some opportunities for him that Jaden could hit him on and get him going a little bit more. He brings a good physicality to the game. That would be a nice tone setter. Noah Brown, Deami Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus. Like, if all these guys are having 3-4 catches and then Terry has 6-8 catches, I think that's a sign of a healthy offense. That is something to keep in mind. If you want more on this topic, though, we talked about it in Take 5, the 5-minute quick edition of Take Command that is going to be in your podcast feeds tomorrow morning. So subscribe to Take Command wherever you get your podcasts. There is one huge positive sign for the offense so far.
Number two.
They have not turned the football over yet. Of course, they were able to create one on the offensive side, or on the defensive side with the peanut punch by Benjamin St. Juice. But on the offensive side, no interceptions. Jaden did fumble one time, I think, against Tampa. They were able to fall on it. Biotish did. So it's not like there hasn't been some opportunities, but they've been able to maintain the football. Obviously, good ball security down the field. Really, the silliest stuff that they've done so far is the two special teams penalties by Nick Ballore, including one that negates the opening kickoff going back for a touchdown, where that block really wasn't needed. Certainly, like, it was executed to spring things. Sometimes a hold, you're like, yeah, that dude makes the tackle, not the one that Ballore had. But turnover wise they've been clean. Jaden Daniels, that's hard to do as a rookie. How you doing it so far?
I mean, that's the name of the game. It's turnovers. Whoever can win the turnover battle has a better chance of winning. So going out there, just, you know, protecting the football, that's something that I've learned when I was back in high school, when I was young. And then Coach Herm Edwards told me, you know, my first couple years, like, man, you can stay on the field as long as you protect the ball and everything else is going to take care of itself.
That's good advice from Herm. You know, Anthony, you want to know what else is good advice from Herm Edwards?
You play to win the game.
Correct. Next topic, please.
Number three.
Let's talk about one of Jaden's top targets in key situations. We'll talk about his debut on the keyest of situations, a primetime game, here in a second. But Noah Brown made his debut for the Commanders on Sunday and had two huge, huge catches, one of which was perhaps the most important play of the game. The big chunk play to get them rolling down into field goal range to ultimately kick the game-winning field goal. Jaden talked about that play post-game where he said, you know, we had that situation earlier in the game where Brown's isolated. I knew I could trust him to win, and he did it again. And I do think that his role will continue to expand. You want to talk about getting Terry the football. You have to have other threats, too, because otherwise teams are just going to bracket Terry, load up, and we've seen that over the years. So Brown emerging would be great. Do we expect his role to grow? Here was DQ earlier today on the guy who we hope will be their number two wide receiver.
Boy, what a first start for him, I thought, in a really cool way of having some trust already with Jaden. I thought Jaden absolutely ripped the dagger that went inside on the last drive to Noah. He's an aggressive, strong player. I think, you know, he demonstrated that in the game. So he's worked really hard to try to, you know, learn it and get involved. And so as he's going at the receiver position, it's really all hands on deck. And we like to feature the guys in different ways. I know it was a topic earlier, who's two and all of this. And I don't really see it that way. I see this as all hands on deck, and they go and attack and battle and feature them in different ways. And so I love that they play on special teams and return punts and cover kicks. And like, it really demonstrates like team at the highest level. And so positions like that, where you've got a lot of competitive guys, it's a lot of fun to coach.
I mean, that's all great. Dan can talk about Alamide Zaccheaus returning kicks and Jamison Crowder returning kicks and, you know, the special teams impact of guys like De'Ami Brown. End of the day, you need dudes who can go out and ball and catch passes. And Noah Brown has had success doing that in this league, and I think he's still young enough that his best football is ahead of him. And because he brings a vertical, explosive, tall receiver body type that this team doesn't otherwise have, like, in some ways, like Zaccheaus and Brown and Crowder and, you know, to an extent, Luke McCaffrey even, are like all kind of competing for each other for snaps. Brown just does stuff these other guys can't do. He has skill set and a body type that is able to perform tasks that the other guys can't. And so getting, like, I get the idea of wanting to spread it around. I love the fact that they have some depth at that position, even if it's not the highest quality depth that you've ever seen there. They do have a bunch of guys who are pros and can play. But if Noah Brown legitimately emerges at the two, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because it means that he's shined and excelled in a way that's earned him more reps, more opportunities, and with the stuff he's being asked to do right now, that's going to be a really healthy sign for this offense. And that's probably why Jaden Daniels quite likes throwing to him as well.
Yeah, I think just what he's proven in this league, you know, be able to go out there and create separation, make plays. Obviously, him and Terry both came from Ohio State, so they have a lineage of receivers. I still think LSU creates the best receivers, but, you know, not trying to be biased. But they're just very hard workers, man. You can just tell with Noah how he approaches practice. He's a pro's pro. You see the same thing for Terry, and you know, trickle down to the rest of the room.
I don't know if that's the wisest thing for Jaden. You got your receivers are Ohio State guys now. I mean, but then again, you know, he's going to be loyal to his Tigers. That's fine. Just a little fun. I now want Terry's response to that from Jaden. I want to know what Terry's thoughts on Jaden dubbing LSU wide receiver U, because that is, I mean, honestly, dude, that is one heck of a battle. You got JJ, Jamar, Odell, you know,
Jarvis
Landry. Like, you got some dudes, but you got Garrett Wilson, you got Terry,
Chris Olave,
Marvin Harrison Jr.,
Abuka,
like
Buka, you got the kid Jeremiah Smith. Hey, LSU is DBU, Ohio State is wide receiver U. It's not
it is close. It is, but like, if we're power ranking it, are the best two receivers in the league JJ and Jamar?
I mean, but we're talking, those are just two people. Those are just
but
two
they're
people.
The two best.
Okay, what did Jerry Rice go? Is that wide receiver you?
No, but I'm saying, like, if one's got a little bit more volume, Yes. And one's got a little bit more super high-end quality. That's a conversation. That's
all
I'm saying.
I don't know if it's balancing it. Just because they're not that far off from those.
I do think with this kid that's at Ohio State now, and if Marvin develops over the next couple of years and Olave continues to emerge like he has, especially if the Saints are just going to put up a million points, yeah, and he becomes, Clint Kubiak becomes the next guy off the Kyle tree, and Olave's his stud. Like, yeah, it probably becomes a little bit more. But I do think it's worth pointing out that, like, JJ's the best in the league,
yeah,
and Jamar's probably second.
Yeah.
So that's worth something. Jaden, you might just have a point. All right, let's keep it moving here on our pick six.
Number four.
This will be the first primetime game for Jaden Daniels as a pro. I'm going to guess he's going to say in this comment in today's press conference that he's not fazed because he played at LSU in front of a lot of people.
I mean, it's special, obviously, be able to play one this early, just coming off my first actual game, the first home opener, now first Monday night game. So it's going to be special, but at the end of the day, it's another game. He's just playing later on in the week.
Oh, he didn't mention the LSU crowds. I know he has before. I hadn't heard that one yet, Anthony. So that was a surprise to me.
Yeah. I don't think anything will phase this guy just because of his experience at Death Valley. So
it's also just like who he is as a dude, right? Yeah. Like he's a guy that just is even keeled. And so I actually legit, like, will it be cool? Will he have a moment where he looks around and you're under the lights and you're like, oh, dang. But I think for him, like, that's a performance enhancer, not a performance, like, constrictor in terms of pressure and all that kind of stuff. As for Dan Quinn, what is he going to say to his team before they head out for their first primetime game under his tutelage and in his era?
To embrace the buildup for it and enjoy it, because it's a really cool experience and one that, you know, for the players that haven't done it before, to enjoy it. But it'll really come down to us. That's my message, to say our style, our play, and how we get down. Once the game kicks off, like, it'll be like normal if we function in that way. But I want them to enjoy the buildup and knowing there's a routine that goes into place for a night game. What does the day of the game look like? We have some meetings and things that day, but we have to be at our best in the evening that day. And so we've had some experience with that in the preseason with some night games, but just going through that process, having the younger players lean into the older guys onto that, it's a big deal. And yeah, we're really excited for it.
I do think I have a greater appreciation at this point in my life, frankly, about how different it is to play a night game. Forget the energy, forget the atmosphere, forget the eyes, that feeling. Just like, if you play at 1 o'clock, you get up, you eat a big breakfast, you go out, you warm up. Like, there's a routine to playing at 1 o'clock that makes a lot of sense if you want to do a really hard workout and perform well in it, which is essentially what this sport is. To have to sit around all day to deal with your anxiety, to figure out, okay, when do I eat? Do I take a nap? Like, think about when you go to bed after a Monday night football game. Like, these dudes are playing till 11 o'clock at night. A lot of them probably normally are asleep at 11 o'clock at night. Like, there's just a physical preparation element that is different. And the fact that Dan Quinn is focused on that as much as he is the energy, I think, is actually a really cool facet of his coaching. Because there is a fine line of, like, riding the energy, but also making sure you have your details buttoned up. And I do appreciate how detail-oriented Dan Quinn is on those types of things. All right, last two quickly in our pick six.
Number five.
More from Jaden Daniels. He's had two very different defensive challenges in Tampa and New York. Cincinnati, probably closer to Tampa in terms of the complexity of what they do. Lou Anarumo is great, is a very, very well-coached team and a coordinator that's been there for a long time. And some of the personnel is new, but a lot of those guys have been there for a long time. So some of the just speed at which things happen that happened in Tampa are going to be similar to what he sees in terms of a speed and an execution and a kind of a how on your P's and Q's you have to be if you're Jaden going against this Cincinnati defense. So how does he feel like he's coming along 3 weeks in reading NFL defenses?
Yeah, I mean, every game is something new. You go from game one where they bring a lot of pressure, game two, trying to mess with your eyes. And, you know, not as much pressure, but, you know, they got some guys out there that can rush the passer. So now it's like going from that game, seeing the growth to game two, and hopefully is figuring out ways, how can I get better each and every week? What little thing can I focus on in practice, you know, that can help me out on Monday?
It is just a process, and it's one thing I appreciate about Jaden is he doesn't try to skip steps. You know, for all the hype and everything around him, this is a dude that's laser-focused on the task at hand, has perspective, and I think that's going to serve him very well in the long term. Last but not least.
Number six.
Joe Burrow, obviously also an LSU quarterback, also a Heisman Trophy winner, a guy who was compared to Jaden quite a bit in the process because of their numbers at LSU. Burrow had the greatest season ever by a college quarterback. Jaden had one of the best that we've seen in a while. Super high touchdown production, super low interceptions, and certainly they have a relationship being Heisman guys that from LSU. So what will it be like for Daniels for the first time facing Burrow in the NFL?
No, I haven't talked to him recently. You know, I wish him nothing but the best in his success over in Cincinnati, what he's done so far, what he did for the state of Louisiana. So it's big for the whole state of Louisiana to see both of us go up against each other on Monday night.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll, of course, have all of the pregame coverage here on the Team 980. And then actually, it's a Monday night doubleheader Monday, so we will have the play-by-play of the other game here on the Team 980. If you're driving around and want to check that out or want to keep an ear on that in the Odyssey app, for instance, while you watch the Commanders on your TV. When we get back here on the Team 980, we are live at Capital One Arena ahead of the Mystics and Fever tonight. The doors are open, folks. Are piling in. It'll be nearly 19,000 here at Cap One tonight. We will talk about the game, what's at stake for Washington, and the other big story around the WNBA today, which is that it might be the end for the greatest star, perhaps, of the last 20 years in the WNBA. All of that next before we get up on out of here on your radios and give way to Megan McPeak and Christy Winter Scott downstairs for the call here on the Team 980.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. Anthony, I'm not gonna lie to you. I have been trying to mess with the levels during the show. Is challenging. Trying to make sure everything's coming in right for the people watching on the stream and making sure everything's right in my ears and everything. So sorry, I got distracted there for a second. Also, there's like 20,000 people here all of a sudden. Anthony, you're gonna make it like 20,001 because you're coming down to the game now.
I am indeed, and I'm not gonna lie, Craig. I definitely heard your background slowly but steadily get louder and louder. So
yeah.
I can only imagine. It's probably crazy down there. Are they giving out shirts? Like, what's happening down there? Shirts? Towels?
I'm gonna be honest with you, Andy.
You know,
I don't know if there's giving out anything at the doors. I don't see anybody particularly walking by with anything. Like, not like everybody walking by has a towel. By the way, if we didn't mention it, I'm live at Capital One Arena ahead of Mystics and Fever tonight. 7 p.m. tip here on the Team 980. The game is also on Amazon Prime. I believe it's on Monumental as well. It's got to be on Monumental if we're carrying it. Those are the rules. So it'll be on Monumental Sports Network tonight for local TV or on Amazon Prime Video if you would like to catch it there. But you can also just listen on the Team 980. So. All those places, all the same, Megan McPeak and Christy Winter Scott of it all.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Indiana Fever shirts here.
Oh, don't tell me it's like one of those situations where, like, you know how the Commanders have a home game and all the visiting team fans come storming in? Are they Fever fans or Caitlin Clark fans?
Yeah, I would say... I'm going to say that, like, 60% of the shirts here, like, there's, like, 30% of the people that are just wearing random stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's even higher than that. Maybe it's, like, 40%. And then, like, maybe it's even higher than that, just random stuff. And then there's a good amount of people that are wearing Indiana Fever shirts. Of the Indiana Fever shirts, 80% of them are Caitlin Clark.
Good gracious.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking jerseys. I just literally had three people walk in front of me. Four. There was a mother-daughter in identical red Caitlin Clark jerseys as a dude who walked by the other way in a Caitlin Clark jersey with his friend who was wearing a Caitlin Clark Iowa jersey.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie. I did almost – actually looked. The only reason I don't have one is because it sold out. The black Iowa Clark jersey.
Yeah, it's probably –
that's tough.
Yeah, it's probably
that's
expensive.
That's a tough jersey.
Yeah.
And I still want it, to be honest. It's just a great, like, summertime, like, just walking around outside, sleeveless shirt season.
Mm-hmm.
We could get a Caitlin Clark jersey, Iowa jersey, black one going. I'm not opposed to that. That black and yellow Iowa is a sick look.
That black and yellow.
Yeah. But there's also some Mystics fans, for sure. A lot of, you know, just the orange hoodie, WNBA style. So it's a great crowd. It's going to be loud. It's going to be fun. I somehow have, it's lucked or whatever, into seeing three of Clark's final five regular season games because I was in Indianapolis last week and saw them play the Aces twice. So it's kind of funny how that's worked out from a schedule standpoint for me personally. But it is going to be fun to watch Clark one more time in the regular season, and then it's on, man. Like, the playoffs are here. They're probably going to match up with Connecticut in the first round. They currently hold the 3 seed. Indiana is pretty much locked in to the 6 seed. Here's where it stands tonight. Let's just go ahead and set the table for the night, the final night of the WNBA's regular season. The Liberty are locked in to the 1 seed. So that is done and dusted. They're 2 up on Minnesota with 1 to play. They are the 1 seed. However, their game is very important tonight for reasons that we will discuss in a moment. Minnesota's locked into the 2 seed. They're 2 games behind New York, 3 games up on Connecticut. I'm going to be honest, Anthony, I don't know the tiebreakers. There is a chance that there is the 3 seed on the line tonight between Vegas and Connecticut because Connecticut is only one game up on Vegas in the standings, and if they finish tied, then it's whoever won the head-to-head tiebreaker. I'm going to see if I can look that up real quick.
I got you.
Do you have it, like, in front of you, in front of you?
Oh, I was about to just put it up.
Aces, if I search this article, let's see. Eight teams make the postseason, top four, da-da-da-da-da.
So when they play, the Las Vegas Aces won 84-71, and this was Sunday.
But what was the season series? That's the question.
Yeah.
ESPN has a whole playoff preview, and they don't have that information in there.
No, they don't.
So that's
looking hard.
That is quite annoying. But there's one game separation there, and whoever is the three seed is going to face Indiana in the playoffs, I believe. Although we'll get to where Indiana's at in the moment. But Connecticut currently the three seed over Las Vegas. The Aces have secured a top four seed and thus a home playoff series to start when they beat Seattle over the weekend. Seattle's locked into the five seed. They're eight games back of New York, so two games behind Vegas. They're four games ahead of Indiana. Indiana is just one game up on Phoenix for the sixth seed. So that tiebreaker, I guess, is in play as well. And then you get to the eight seed, which has not been decided. It is 80%+ for ESPN analytics that the Atlanta Dream are going to make the playoffs. If they win, they are in. Simple as that. If they, the Mystics, and the Sky all lose, then the Dream are in because they currently are one game ahead. It is very simple on that front. What gets wacky is if, obviously, some of these teams win and some of these teams do not. And that's when you get into the whole WNBA, you know, win-loss playoff chart. I know Highlight Her had one on Instagram. I thought I had it up. I don't. Here's what needs to happen. If the Mystics win, Atlanta needs to lose, and then Chicago needs to win because the tiebreaker, the Mystics hold it over Chicago. If the Sky lose, or the Sky win, the Mystics lose, and the Dream lose, then Chicago gets in. And that, in some ways, Anthony, is actually the best case scenario for the Mystics, because then they get two lottery picks instead of one. But this is the kind of weird bit with where they're at right now, is whether they make the playoffs or Atlanta makes the playoffs, their pick in the draft is going to be the same. They're going to hold the last lottery selection because they and Atlanta are tied over the last 2 years, which is how lottery odds are calculated. And so whoever makes it is in. Whoever misses, they get that last lottery spot. And that's it, because they hold Atlanta's pick. So either what you want tonight, in my opinion, what you're rooting for is the Mystics to make the playoffs, because then they're in and they get the experience in Atlanta. Ultimately, you get their pick and you get the same pick you'd get anyway if you missed it. Or lose, Atlanta loses, Chicago gets in, and then that's the real winner, because now you got two picks.
Man, that's the one I'm praying for. I'm not going to lie, Craig. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Let's both go home.
Let's guarantee ourselves a top five pick, a top three pick. With that, that would be sick. And then all of a sudden, you have a chance at number one, which is most likely Paige Beckers. Although they're Kiki Erfin from Stanford. There's a French kid who's 6 foot six that they're really high on, I've heard as well. / everyone is high on because she's 6 foot six and awesome. And it would just continue a tradition here in Washington of drafting French players, Anthony. That's really what that's about.
Love to hear it.
Could you imagine if the Wizards and Mystics just alternated drafting French players multiple years in a row? It's kind of a wacky bit. I'm on to you, Michael Winger.
Yeah, I think it would be a little wacky.
Is Michael Winger a mole for the French? Did we just figure this out?
It's a great question.
Took over Monumental Basketball, took Bilal Coulibaly, took Alex Saar.
Who's next?
Who's next? It would be this 6 foot six French girl. Or hopefully it's Paige Beckers, because that would be cool. I would like Paige Beckers.
Very ideal.
very, very, like 50-50 chance Paige Bueckers winds up in L.A., though, because they've got a 44% chance that they win the number one pick, because that's how the lottery works. The other big story today is Diana Taurasi retiring. It looks like it could be happening. She has said she's going to take some time to decide, but in a video put out by the Phoenix Mercury that included her wife and her agent, there was a "if this is goodbye." So we'll talk a little bit about DT's legacy and a moment in time that we're experiencing now that we wondered if we were experiencing with Diana 20 years ago. So we'll talk about all of that to wrap up the show next. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. We are live at Capital One Arena, where the Washington Mystics are set to close out their season against the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark, who you will hear from coming up in Real Things Real People Said into Real Microphones. I was talking with Kareem Copeland, who stopped by the show earlier on the air. Kareem forgot his bag. So we went to the Caitlin Clark press conference and then came back up, and we were chatting after CC talked downstairs. And he said that Clark was really reflective today and kind of appreciative of the season that she's had, how many people are going to be here tonight, and what the responsibility that she felt to make sure that she was able to go tonight. So really, really cool stuff from a young woman who's been through a lot, whose world has been turned upside down over the last year by how well she plays basketball and the popularity that's come from that. And we get to see the final game of her regular season here tonight. Meanwhile, the Phoenix Mercury, in their final game of their regular season, might be the final regular season game for Diana Taurasi, an absolute legend of the sport. The only six-time Olympic gold medalist in USA basketball history. One of the greatest players ever. She has played 20 of the 28 WNBA seasons. And, Anthony, as we've heard a lot of the attendance records and things and ratings records fall over the last year, and I think this time we're on the up and up. Like, there is no stopping the train now. There was a moment in time 20 years ago where we thought that perhaps that was the moment as well. And what was happening 20 years ago, a rookie named Diana Taurasi was the driving force behind the growth of the WNBA and what was previously to this year and the last couple of years of it growing before the explosion with this rookie class in terms of popularity, what was its highest point. And I think that's part of Diana's legacy is she, I think, almost as much as, or maybe more than, I have to go back and look at this a little bit deeper. And it's something that we're actually going to do on my women's sports YouTube channel / podcast feed. We're going to do a special edition of the WNBA show tomorrow because we're going to have all the playoff sets and we're going to do a preview. So if you want that, just search Hoffman W Sports on YouTube or in your favorite podcast app, and we'll have a preview of every single WNBA playoff series. But the person I do that show with is Lindsay D'Arcangelo, who's a longtime WNBA writer and a huge DT fan. She's like a Diana Taurasi stan. And so I'll be able to talk about this with her. I would say off the top of my head, I can't think of a more influential player in terms of the popularity of the sport since in the WNBA era before this year than Diana Taurasi. In part because she's been around for damn near the whole thing, but also from a singular, like, the way she played, the tenacity, the kind of things people love about basketball players. DT embodies every single bit of it, and I think that resonated with people in a way that made her, up until Caitlin and Angel and this current rookie class and, you know, other players in it that are incredibly popular, and, you know, players like Asia Wilson who have grown in popularity as the league has grown and obviously deserve it, as Asia's the best player on the planet and is endlessly marketable for a billion reasons. I think Diana probably held that crown for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah, I think the longevity part of it is what makes it all so special, just because, again, it spans almost more than two decades. Like, you got the early 2000s, then you got the 2010s, and now in the early 2020s. And, you know, to see the growth from, like, where it was into, like, where it is now, and the fact that she's been a part of it and actually had a lot of success, I think just speaks volumes to, like, the game and her as a whole, to be honest. You know, people love to say she's the GOAT. She hates being called the GOAT, but
she sure does.
But the legacy that she left, you know, being out there for the last 20 years is truly something to, you know, be admired. And I mean,
she's been legitimately great the entire time too, Anthony.
Exactly.
Her career low points per game. She had an injury plague season in 2019. She only played six games, and like so that I'm wiping out that season where she only averaged 4 points a game, because she averaged 20 a game the year before and 18 the year after. So it was literally all injury related. She barely played. Then the next lowest point total of her career, she averaged 14 a game in 2012, sandwiched in between 20-plus point seasons. She's averaging 15 this year. And for, you know, is Caitlin Clark having the greatest rookie season ever? Yeah, probably. But Taurasi's rookie season, she won Rookie of the Year. She was first-team All-WNBA. She was third in MVP voting. And I think Clark is going to get some third-place MVP votes. I don't know if she'll actually finish third, but she'll get some third-place votes behind Nafisa Collier and Asia Wilson, who better be the unanimous pick. But as a rookie, DT averaged 17 points a game. Rookies stink in this league, man.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it back then. When the league was even smaller and more condensed from a talent standpoint.
Yep, everything.
So, salute to DT, the GOAT, even if she hates it. There's a beautiful tribute video on the Phoenix Mercury social media if you want to check it out. I was damn near crying before the show watching it. And also, she might come back next year at 43 years old. She's been legitimately great. The crown has been heavy. She's worn it beautifully. So, salute to DT.
Her play, Craig. In Cat 1, didn't we?
We did get to see her play.
Yeah.
Camp Day a couple years ago. That was one of our first field trips together.
This year, too.
Oh, that's right. It was this year.
Yeah, this year we were there.
Yeah.
I was walking on the sideline, I think, and some dance came on. Brittany Griner looked over at me. I was like, oh, what's that? And then, yeah, like, it was a lot going on there. But now we got to see DT this season.
We did get to see DT this season. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of games this year, bro.
We have.
A lot of games. One more on the docket tonight, and then we'll see. Maybe there's a couple more to come. But Mystics Fever tonight, tip-off just over 6 minutes away. Anthony, do we have time for a quick Real Things?
Yep, we have 2 minutes and 5 seconds.
Let's do it.
Real Things.
We're not going to be suck this year.
Real people.
5-11, not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right, so the good news for everybody that's here in their 22 shirts is Caitlin Clark is going to be playing tonight. That was not a sure thing as she was throwing, she was upset at a call in their last game. And thankfully, the Fever's Caitlin de-escalation committee worked, and she did not get a technical and thus suspended, something Caitlin was very appreciative for after the game.
I didn't think they were going to give me a technical at any point tonight. I would have been really sad for people in Washington, D.C. I didn't want to do that. I tried my best. But my teammates do a really good job of that. They think I'm funny. They think it's funny. So, and then Aaliyah is the one that ends up with a technical. That's the best part about it all. Like, she's the one babysitting me, and then somehow she ends up with a technical. And she didn't really do anything. She was just standing there. So that's what was funny to me.
I think that's very, very funny. And it's just like, it's such an older sibling thing, Anthony. You know this. You have younger siblings.
Yes.
You just try to de-escalate the situation. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time because your younger sibling dragged you into a situation. And then you wind up getting in trouble. That ain't the life Aaliyah Boston deserves.
It is not the life she deserves. But it's actually funny that they can bond over that and laugh. I think had they lost, maybe it might have been a little different, but
maybe
they rallied, they held together, and she didn't get her. What technical foul?
I don't know. It's like 16 in the NBA. I imagine it's less in the W.
Yeah, probably
they play
like
half
10 or
games.
Something. Yeah,
but she's had enough.
Yes,
she's had enough.
And she
I don't understand
want to be
how Chrissy Size doesn't get a technical every 5 minutes watching her coach on the sidelines. Anyway, that's our show. Be back with a Football Friday tomorrow. See you then on the Team 980 Mystics next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.